Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are the founder of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy, Rick Parisi, and head coach of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy, Rob Boyle.
All right, here we are with episode two. Rick and Rob, welcome back. And for everyone out there listening, last episode, episode one, we talked about what Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy aims to achieve, who Adult Hockey Academy camps are designed for, and a little bit about what to expect from Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Camp when you attend. All right, so Rob, I wanted to start this week by talking about a very cool thing that happened this week. And for listeners out there, kind of a time reference, we're at the on the 26th of February. But on Sunday night up in Toronto.
Saturday night
in Toronto, the Carolina Hurricanes required the emergency backup goalie, a gentleman named David Ayers, who happens to be right around my age. He's 42 years old and he's a Zamboni driver. He came into the game and I believe, if I've got the information correct from TSN, had a couple goals scored on him, which then when the Hurricanes came back and scored some goals, he picked up a win, which is very rare in these situations to do, but quite awesome to see a 42-year-old Zamboni driver with, as I might add, some Toronto Marlies, I believe, gear on, helmet, pads, pants, and things like that, and yet a Carolina Hurricanes jersey. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's only a great story if you're not a Toronto fan, so we'll start there. But that being said, it was, I was actually watching that game. And when I saw it happen, I saw the first goalie go down and Grimer started the game and thought, oh, okay, well, they're going to have to get the emergency guy ready. And sure enough, and then Mrazek goes out and he gets the call. So this has happened a couple of times before. Any Chicago fans will know Scott Foster came in a couple of years ago. He's an accountant. And what people should know is that every NHL team has an emergency backup goalie in the building. A few years back, the Florida Panthers actually used it as a marketing tool. They actually had a competition to see who would be the emergency backup goalie for the season. So that was one good thing about it. But it was a lot of fun to see. It's a great story. Kind of wonder, you know, being in the greater city of Toronto, there wasn't a better option. That being said, he's familiar with the Leafs organization. He's been a practice goalie with them for some time, with the Marlies and with the Leafs. So he's familiar with all those guys, and anybody watching the game would have noticed the Leafs players kind of giving him a pat in the pads at the end of the second period going into the locker room. So it had to be a weird situation for him. I've watched the interviews. He was in Carolina last night, which was Tuesday, ringing the siren and signing autographs. They did t-shirts for him, sold them. They sold out of them. In Carolina, and with all the proceeds going to a kidney foundation, because he actually was a kidney transplant, I don't know if you call them survivors, but a recipient in 2004. So all around a great story. I know the league, and listening to some NHL radio, that, you know, some people thought the same thing that I just said, that, you know, there has to be better options out there. And I can speak from a Montreal standpoint, because this came up a couple days afterwards. I know that the backup goalies for the Montreal Canadiens happened to be from Concordia University, where I went to school and played and coached. And so they are both goalies, actually all three of them, are the emergency backup goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. So like I said, every rink has one. It's a great story. I believe the Florida Panthers did have someone come in a few years ago, but it was a former goalie who did play in the National Hockey League, but is now a coach. Both their goalies got hurt and he had to come in too. So it's a great story. I'm sure the league's going to look at it from, from some of the feedback I've been hearing is just that, you know, there wasn't a more qualified guy to go in. But not to take away anything from David Ayers stepping up to the plate and getting in there and doing what he did, and, you know, letting the first two goals go in on the first two shots and then shutting it down after that. So it is a phenomenal story, something we don't hear of very often. And it'll be interesting to see what the league does going forward.
And you know, I do agree with you. The league's in an interesting spot. Here's two teams that are fighting for playoff positions. And the pressure in Toronto to win a cup now is probably as big as it's been since, I don't know, what, Matt Sundin was there a number of years ago, and they were doing pretty well. I mean, points are really important at this point in time. And perhaps you're right. There might be a different way to do this
this has only been around for, you know, say the last 10 years or so. You know, something the league is going to take a look at and see if there's a way of improving it down the road. But that being said, it's a phenomenal story. It's a great story. You're happy for the guy. I actually posted on Facebook. I was actually cheering for the guy going into the net. So, you know, congratulations to him. But like you said, these are tough games. And, you know, look at Carolina and Toronto both trying to make the playoffs in the playoff stretch here as we come down to the last month of the season. You know, that's an important game for both teams. So, and it's an interesting way to view it, and we'll see what the league does.
It's a positive image for the NHL overall, but certainly they have some questions to go and talk about how this process works. All right, now we're going to move into something a little bit off the, you know, the 42-year-old backup goalie coming into play. We're going to get into some topics. Specifically, we'll start with for Rob, and then, or sorry, for Rick, and then maybe over to Rob. It, when a player comes to camp, they've signed up for camp, they show up on that first evening, what can they expect when they walk through the door of the arena?
Well, first, Austin, I probably want to start back it up a little bit and just start with from registration, from the time they register. I want to convey that I believe in good communication. So we're sending them emails and keeping them informed of what to expect before they get there. So before they get there, they know where they're going to be going. They know what to expect as far as what time meetings are, what the schedule looks like, everything, accommodations, all that stuff. So we do communicate pretty well with them from the beginning. Once it's, you know, the day of camp, it's Thursday afternoon, we have an orientation at 4:00. So they're going to come in and we're going to have our orientation where what we'll do is I'll introduce myself. And then our staff, and each of the coaches will talk about their background, and also explain to the players a little bit about, you know, what they can expect on the ice at the camp. And then after that, we'll have the players introduce themselves, so that we all get to know one another. Because part of the experience is really the camaraderie that we develop. So we get to see, you know, oh, there's a few new guys in the camp, or there's guys that have been to camp before. And this guy, oh, this guy's a, you know, an engineer, or this guy's a doctor, or this guy is a firefighter, or whatever. You kind of get to know people a little bit before. And that's kind of, I feel, an important start to the camp. Then once we leave our orientation meeting, which usually lasts a little over an hour, hour and a half, then we go in and, they go to their locker rooms, jerseys are hanging up in the locker room for them, and they get dressed and, you know, we get on the ice, and that's where we have our first ice session. And I don't know if you want Rob to talk a little bit about, you know, what we're doing on the ice and stuff like that.
Sure. Go ahead, Rob.
As coaches, we try to, the first session doesn't change a whole lot, though we might change it up a little bit this year as I'm kind of working that out a little bit, but, you know, we try to get into the forward stride edge work to kind of see what level everybody is at, because it is different from camp to camp. We always want to push the player, there's no question, to get out of that comfort zone, but we want to make sure that we're not doing it, or, you know, having it so far advanced that players are going to get frustrated and they're not able to accomplish some goals that they set for themselves. So, I mean, I think with failure comes success for sure, no question, but we just kind of want to see where we can go with the camp in that first session and what everybody's level is.
In every camp, we're going to work on the same set of skills, right? So your skating skills, passing, shooting, puck protection, all that stuff. The question is, what drills are we going to use, and what level are we going to be able to execute, right? And I think, you know, one of the things that we like to do is the camp progression is kind of like, you know, we start with the basics and break it down and build it up. And then, so by the beginning of the camp, we're working on some of the more basic, like your skating stride and stuff like that. And by the end of the camp, we're putting all together all the various skills that have been taught. So they're incorporated in all the drills that we do.
Yeah.
I think the ICE, that's the name of the facility at Atlanta. Yep. Yeah, the ICE. Walked in, beautiful facility. Anybody who's considering going there, it was fantastic.
It's only 15 minutes from my new house, too, I got to add.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Especially with that kind of two-lane road there, traffic can be kind of bad. So glad you'll be close to it. I remember going in, doing the introductions and listening to the coaches, and was very impressed like I said, I didn't really know what to expect the first time, what level of coaches I was going to get. Was it going to be some doofus like me or somebody who was a good hockey player who could do everything you guys were hoping to teach?
Well, that's not to say we haven't been called doofuses. Come on, Austin.
Perhaps. Well, I didn't think you guys were doofuses. And then, once we broke off, we introduced ourselves and you kind of got a feeling for everybody was, and it was a mix of, I've been playing for 2 years. I've been playing for 15 years. I've been off for 15 years. I played when I was six and I'm just picking back up at 55, all kinds of things. And then going into the locker rooms and having the jerseys set out, and everything was very professionally done. But I think we were all very excited to get on the ice. That's why we came to camp. And it was well run. Got us into the locker rooms. Jerseys were hanging up. Felt kind of cool to have that. And then got out on the ice. And like you said, started to figure out where everybody was. And, the first camp, I realized I had no idea how to use my edges. So that's what folks can expect when they show up on that first evening, that first Thursday night. So let's talk about, we hit on the coaches in that segment there. Let's talk a little bit more about, Rick, how you choose the coaches and what qualities and qualifications you're looking for when you bring them to coach for you at Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy.
Sure. So a lot of our coaches, we really, the hockey world is a small world. And so a lot of the coaches end up being referrals from other coaches. So we have someone that's working with us and they, have someone else say, oh, hey, I know we need a guy for this camp. I know a guy. I trust my current coaches they know what we're looking for. The other thing is sometimes we get a local guy that, we get a referral from maybe the rink or something. We bring a local guy in and he turns out to be a really good coach. And then we end up taking him on the road with us and he becomes one of our more permanent staff members. As far as the qualities of what I'm looking for, the obvious things are like knowledge and experience, right? You got to have guys that are knowledgeable about the game and have experience. I think those are givens. Communication skills, really important. Again, we're not talking about dealing with, 6-year-old kids or 10-year-old kids on the ice. These are all adults and they're going to be asking questions and they want answers and they want coaches that are going to interact with them and be good communicators. As far as I'm concerned, I don't really care much about what level the coach played at, whether they played NHL, maybe AHL, but some level of pro hockey or college hockey. That's all great. But to me, it's more important about their ability to coach. And a lot of that is the passion. Okay. And it's not just passion for playing, but a passion for sharing their knowledge and love of the game, because that is infectious and the players, pick up on that. And that's kind of what I think makes our camp special is the passion that the coaches bring to, we touched on this last episode. These guys aren't just going to put in their 2 hours on the ice and then walk away. They're going to be sitting there. They're going to interject on the ice, giving tips to players throughout the drills, not just, it's one thing to just say, I'm going to demonstrate a drill. Okay, you guys do it, right? That's fine, but I can do that in a YouTube video. When the coaches are getting in there and saying, okay, you did this right, but now you need to, make these changes, make adjustments. All that feedback, the players really, really enjoy having the feedback. And that's kind of what makes the camp special and what makes it, different, I guess. And then the last thing I wanted to kind of touch on is the ratio. Cause sometimes people ask me, well, like, what's the ratio of coaches that you have there? I don't have a hard and fast number, but if we have a full camp, we're going to have 5 coaches on the ice and a full camp will be like 36 skaters. So we'll have 5 coaches on the ice, but the important thing isn't the number of coaches that is important, but it's that they're all coaches, right? There's not one guy out there. It's not like Rob with 5 kids out there pushing pucks. Okay. It's 5 guys that are all knowledgeable and can all give feedback to the players. Cause if Rob can't give feedback to 36 players at once. Okay. And then the same, the goalies also get their own coach. So they have a goalie coach that's giving them individual and they actually get, a great, deal in terms of, they're getting a lot of individual attention because of the nature of it.
Yeah. And I noticed the goalies get some really cool technology, at least at the Atlanta camp when I went. with using iPads to show angles, what the puck is seeing versus what the shooter's eye is seeing versus what the goalie's seeing. And I thought that was really cool, even though, you know, as a player, we didn't get to use that. But, you know, that, I think that's huge for a goalie to be able to work on that.
Yep.
Rob, anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I mean, I kind of agree with Rick, and Rick will a lot of times consult me on, you know, how's this guy doing? How's that guy doing? And we have a lot of conversations about certain guys. You know, I feel the same way. If you're going to be there, we want you there to be part of this, to make sure that the, like we always say, it's your camp. It's not for us, the coaches. It's your camp, and we have to be there for you guys. We have to be there to make sure you guys get every ounce of knowledge that we have or that we're doing, and we're passing that along to you over the course of the weekend. That's our job. And if you're not willing to do that, then it'll, like Rick said before, it'll be your last camp. We want guys that are enthusiastic. They need to be knowledgeable, and not just good coaches, good teachers. I mean, that's what it really comes down to, is your teacher. And we've been very, very fortunate to have some great coaches working with us over the 18 years. And can't wait there to get back out with some of them, and looking forward to the season.
Yeah, they're fantastic coaches from what I've seen. One of the things I would throw out there to players who haven't been to camp yet, or even ones that might be returning, is as a player, don't be afraid to ask any question. I would definitely recommend that you ask the coaches if you're not being pushed to your limits, to be asked to be pushed to your limits of what you can do out there. As you just said, Rob, it's our camp, you know, the folks that are paying for it. So try to push yourself to your limits. You don't get to go to these things very often, maybe only once in your life, but try and push your limits and do things that you might not ever have done on a hockey rink before, and see if you can do it, or see if you can figure out maybe how you can do it once you get back home.
Well, we kind of touched on this a little bit too, and Rick mentions this a lot as well. As adults, you're responsible for your learning. Like, how are you going to push yourself? What is it you want to get out of camp? And so you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. We're going to be working our tails off for you, but you know, as an adult, you got to kind of take some of that responsibility yourself. Like you said, to ask the questions, to push yourself, to get out of that comfort zone. Don't be afraid to try something. Don't be afraid to fall down. Those are things we try to convey in camp. No one's judging you. Like, try it. This is why you came to camp. You came to camp to try to push yourself and do these things. And that's what we're going to try to do.
The environment's very supportive. That's another thing. Like, no matter what your ability, you know, guys starting out, they fall. Everybody remembers when they were at that point, and it's a very supportive environment. So that's one of the great things about it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of peer coaching going on at the campsite we're at. You know, the coaches have a group of four or five players, but we would talk amongst each other to, you know, talk about maybe, hey, I kind of see you're doing this a little bit, maybe try that, or here's what's been successful for me. Certainly not to replace the coaches, but you know, there's a little bit of time to talk amongst each other and kind of pick up some of those little skills there that maybe you hadn't thought about. Or definitely, if there's an aha moment, you can share with your other camp goers as well. All right, so gentlemen, we kind of have a decision point here, and we can wrap up and push the frequently asked questions to next week, or maybe we can take a couple, Rick, get those in, and then hold off on a few more and just keep rolling those into future episodes. What do you think?
Okay. I can address a couple quick ones, and then we can leave some of the longer ones to the next episode. How's that?
Let's just do a couple quick frequently asked questions, and then we'll wrap up the episode.
Okay. I think about the questions I get either by email or phone. Age. I think we touched on this a little bit. You're not too old. You know, I have guys in their, you know, 50s. A lot of times will call and say, hey, you know, I'm in my mid 50s. You know, am I too old? No. Funny thing is, sometimes you get people in their 30s who think they're too old. Our average age is probably mid 40s somewhere. So we get guys 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s. The other one is the ability. Again, we touched on that a little bit last episode. That's always a big concern, and it comes from both ends of the spectrum. And the answer is, you know, we can handle, if you're a beginner, we have plenty of novice players that have come out, and we deal with that, as well as players that have been playing for 20 or 30 years or more. You know, people ask about the curriculum, and I think that's a question that we can talk about a little bit more in depth in another episode. Question from goalies that I always laugh at is, what's the price for goalies? And I know the answer they're looking for is like, it should be half price or free because they're used to paying less.
Yeah. It's like pickup where, hey, if there's a goalie, you're free.
Right. Right. And some people, some places even pay the goalies, right, to come out. Sorry, goalies. We give you a great deal. You pay the same price, but you have a dedicated goalie coach. And as Austin indicated, you're getting a ton of video review. You're getting a lot. So it's a great value, but the price is the same. And one last thing I want to touch on is travel. People worry about like being able to travel with hockey gear and they think it's a problem to travel with hockey gear. Actually, if you look, airlines all have a policy for sports gear. And if you go on their website, generally, your sticks travel with your bag. And even though the bag is oversized, it doesn't get charged extra. So you could take up to two sticks with a hockey bag. So if you want to fly to a camp, you can do it. It's not as difficult as you might think.
Yeah, I haven't done the flying yet. Maybe next year if I come to a camp, am I in Lake Tahoe or the one out in Vail? Those sound like a lot of fun.
Yes, we definitely like those.
Yeah. So as we're getting closer, we're at the end of February here as we record this. We're getting closer to the first camp, and I'll just remind everyone, Rick, you can correct me if I get any of these wrong, but the first camp is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, April 16th through the 19th.
That is correct.
And then the next one in April, is the 23rd through the 26th in Shelton, Connecticut. So, yeah. If you're in the New York area, New England area, that's the closest they're going to get, unless you want to go all the way over to Buffalo later in the year. And then the final one that will be beginning in April is the 30th of April to the 3rd of May. In Atlanta, if you're in the Southeast, I think, Rick, that would be the only one that would be close to you, correct?
That is true. Yep.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, gentlemen, I think we're going to pause it there. We'll pick up some more frequently asked questions next week or next episode, I should say. And then we're also going to delve a little bit more into the goalies and kind of, I think this is our first, not even a listener question, but something that was brought up was someone was interested in goalies. We'll talk about goalies, how they fit into the camp, what they can expect on the goalie side when they come to a weekend Warriors hockey camp, and then get into, we've kind of pushed this topic into next episode as well. Player coming to camp, how do they prepare before they arrive, and maybe some tips on what to bring, things you've seen if Rob and Rick, and I'll even throw some in myself, what people forget to bring when they come to hockey camp. And all right, gentlemen, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, that's great. Thanks, Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to go.
All right. Very good.
We hope you enjoyed the episode and thank you for listening. If you have any show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if that's easier. We'd love to read your listener questions on the air. Please share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the podcast and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard at improving each time you're out on the ice.